The Mama Take Heart podcast with Rabrina Rettle is brought to you by Life Audio and is a part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
Welcome back to Mama Take Heart, Understanding Your Gen Z Girl. I'm your host, Rabrina Rettle, and I'm here to help you be the gospel-centered, compassionate, and influential voice in your girl's life. Today, we're going to talk about the good and troubling aspects of social media. For adults, social media is information-driven. And for teens and young adults, it's a social currency. For all of us, it's a way to exchange ideas and beliefs with others, to find people who have a common interest, from fan accounts to book clubs. It can be used for business to reach more people. It's a great way to learn more about important causes and to be aware of events happening in our own communities. Responsible usage of social media definitely requires wisdom. So I'd like to reflect on James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. As adults, we know we have a little more experience, and sometimes with experience comes wisdom. But of course, we know human wisdom does not match God's wisdom. That is where we need to ask for help. And in this day and age, we can use social media for good, but we know it also has been used for nefarious purposes. I have to say, it is a wonderful way to keep up with what's going on in the lives of our family and friends near and far, especially in this age of COVID-19. Even though this is a good thing, and some of us still find ourselves comparing our life to the carefully curated lives we see online, that is not so great. Being aware of this is important because it can lead to feelings of comparison and discontent. And that is something even as adults we need to be aware of. Some of us also rely on social media to get the latest news, trends, and political commentary. However, research shows those of us who do aren't as knowledgeable about current events as those who watch national news programs. Many believe what we see on social media, and that is also a cause for concern at times because disinformation and misinformation can be widespread. And many believe it's the cause of much polarization we're experiencing in the world today. So we need to do due diligence. We need to be mature and wise and discerning when trying to decipher what to believe. Now, for our teens, in 2018, a Pew Research report stated that 81% of friends feel more connected through social media. They talk about their achievements, experiences, and deeper emotional connections and conversations with close friends. It also allows them to interact with a more diverse group of people. The report also states that they feel they can find supportive friends, and also that teens use social media as a way to use their voices, to be able to do something about issues they're passionate about. And they also use it as a creative outlet or even to start a business. This goes along with what we learned about Gen Z, that they are a passionate generation. They're an entrepreneurial generation. Some of the teens who say that they have some negative effects are the drama, social pressure, fear of missing out, which is known as FOMO, and cyberbullying. The drama. He said, she said. Isn't what it used to be. Now just one screenshot provides receipts, as they're called, or proof of the conversation. This can lead to sharing the conversation with others and escalating the drama. The other area they mentioned that was a negative aspect is social pressure. Some teens feel pressure to look good or be liked, so they only post pictures with filters that will take away all of their flaws or that will enhance their beauty. There's actually filters that where you can kind of add makeup and soften your look. And those are used quite a bit. They also feel pressure to post content that will receive a lot of likes, comments, hearts, or thumbs up. So it's like wearing a virtual mask and saying, I'm only going to show the parts of me I want you to see, or enhance or exaggerate the good parts of me. FOMO, the fear of missing out. Okay, so let's step into your daughter's shoes. Imagine scrolling through your feed and you see friends hanging out without you and the team gathering together, the team that you tried out for but you didn't make. Think about the toll that it can take on her and how it makes her feel. I know my own daughter has been there a time or two. A friend would give an excuse for not being able to hang out with her, and then she'd see said friend hanging out with someone else. All of us can get caught up in this, parents and our kids. For a lot of us parents, when we're in the dead of winter and we see pictures of people on sunny beaches or tropical islands crop up on our feeds, we may feel like we're missing out. There's another negative, which is, of course, cyberbullying. The more hate we see on the internet has the capacity to make us numb to it and to make us less empathetic. People find it easier to say things to others they wouldn't say in person. And when others join in and heap on top of it, it becomes so overwhelming and teens feel defeated and deflated. As we know, cyberbullying is out of control for all of us, and it is something that we need to be watchful and mindful of. Well, I recently watched a documentary drama on Netflix titled The Social Dilemma. In the film, the interviewer speaks to technology experts who once worked for social media companies. These experts explained how social media is designed to be addictive. Algorithms are in place to keep us engaged, scrolling, clicking, and sharing. They compared the apps to slot machines, and they say the apps hit on the dopamine hormone, which causes a dopamine effect, and that it can be as addictive as a drug. I thought that was so concerning. The tech designers talk about the psychology that goes into it called intermittent positive reinforcement. Basically, receiving rewards increases the behavior. And in this instance, the reward is likes, comments, sharing, hearts. And the more we get, the more we want. Also, they talked about social media companies and that they're not just collecting data. They're tracking usage. They're looking at what you're searching for, the top keyword searches, the time of day that you're searching. These algorithms determine what mood you're in, depending on what you search for. And they even look at when you stop to look at something, they scrutinize how long you stay in that particular area. And that this can determine the next recommended video and how to advertise to you. That was just an eye-opening thing for me. And it was, to be honest, for me, it was quite disturbing. So I would recommend, if you haven't watched that, I would recommend that you watch that documentary. Once again, it's called The Social Dilemma. I will have a link, or I'll put it in the show notes. Okay, so how does social media affect mental health for teens? Well, it affects the self-worth and identity because it's tied into social approval. And, plastic surgeons are seeing an increase in young adult patients who want to look like their filtered selfies. And they have termed this Snapchat dysmorphia. I was very surprised about that also. There's something called doom scrolling, and it is continuing to scroll through bad news, even though it saddens and discourages you. And of course, this can lead to anxiety. Also, it's good to be aware of vulnerable teens, those who already have low social emotional skills, especially those with ADHD. I have three people that I live with ADHD, and other types of a similar diagnosis, as the prefrontal cortex is affected, and that is in the risk and self-regulation area. Tristan Harris, who was one of the people who were featured in The Social Dilemma, he worked at Google at one time, and he's considered a tech ethicist. He founded a nonprofit organization called Center for Humane Technology. You might want to check out that site. There's helpful information for adults and teens on how to fight this on a broader scale and end this pervasive technology. When it comes to our teens, the website states, smartphones and social media can overwhelm the human limits of a young mind. The ability to focus, delay gratification, form an identity, form meaningful relationships, and maintain mental health. So we highly recommend that communities delay the introduction and use of smartphones or social media in young people's lives. I thought it was great that they understand how it works. And so they know that, as we know, youth, teens, tweens, their brain will not be fully developed until age 25. So the part that is not fully developed is the risk-taking or risk behavior part. And that's why we need to be a guide for this with our kids. So what can we do? Well, you can do some of these items here. You can try using a cell phone that isn't a smartphone, especially for your children, and try the text or call option only if you need to communicate for safety reasons. When my daughter was in middle school, she felt left out. She felt like if she didn't have a phone and couldn't text, that she didn't exist. And basically, that's kind of how they made her feel. And she didn't know what their conversations they were talking about, when they had seen things on the internet or social media, because she had a slider phone, not a smartphone. And I think it was second semester of eighth grade, we gave her a smartphone. And, you know, we had parameters set up around it and that sort of thing. But with the information I know now, I definitely would have waited until high school. Well, another thing you can do is ask your kids about their lives on social media to get a feel for what's going on in their world and kind of how they're feeling about it. Also, you can use parental controls such as Bark, KidBridge, and WebWatcher. I go to Common Sense Media quite a bit, and they have so many wonderful articles on there about kids and technology or kids in the media. So I've put a link to their guide for parents and parental controls in the show notes. Yes, follow them on social media just to see what their world's like. Reduce the notifications. You can do this in your settings. I do not like notifications. I get notifications for my calendar. I get notifications for a Bible meditating app. But otherwise, I don't really care for notifications. I don't have notifications on any of my social media. I just go to it when I go to it. Sometimes I don't go to it for a couple of days. If something's an emergency, the people that I'm closest to, they have my number. They can give me a call. Also, delete time-sucking or toxic apps. Consider the source before you share. Due diligence. You got to do the research. Be exposed to different opinions. Be curious about why people believe what they do. You want to discuss those views through Messenger instead of a public area of social media. I think then you get more of a truthful response from a person instead of everyone piling on. Ensure screens are put away during mealtime and the devices are out of the bedroom at a certain time before bedtime. Also, you want to budget your time on social media. So your teens, for them to do that also. And you can get input and ask them, how long do you think is a reasonable time to be on social media? And they'll let you know. You can have a compromise around that. You can set the limits by using your digital well-being in your settings. Also, it doesn't hurt to take a break from media or a fast. I went off the grid social media wise for what started as 3-month fast, but it lasted for a year and a half. And you know, I didn't miss it. I found myself calmer and less stressed. I just came back to it this past summer for business purposes. And as stated before, check out the Center for Humane Technology. I put a link to that in the show notes if you want to get a broader sweep on how to manage the social media thing. As we lead and guide our kids, we should ponder these questions. Are we displaying God's grace to others? And will our comments bring others closer to God or push them away? Are we being agents of empathy and righteousness or agents of judgment and self-righteousness? Are we bringing the gloom and doom, or are we bringing hope and light? Jesus is our model. And as followers of Jesus, we're the examples to our teens. How we respond to posts and comments and discuss what we see on social media affects them. They are always watching what we do over what we say. And if we want them to be good digital citizens, we must lead the way. Think about Jesus as we interact with others on social media. I just wanted you to know I put some of the resources in the show notes. I for sure recommend watching the Netflix documentary, The Social Dilemma. I watched it alone first, and then I brought my family in on it, and it was an eye-opener for my kids even. Also, go to Common Sense Media for a list of parental controls. Tech-Wise Family by Andy Crouch is a good book to refer to. And you can check out Arlene Pelican, her website. She co-wrote a book with Dr. Gary Chapman titled Screen Kids. And of course, the link for the Center for Humane Technology for ways to help our kids and fight pervasive technology. Phew, that was another one that was just filled with a lot of information, and some great and some not so great. But remember, God is for you, and you're not alone. With His Spirit, you are filled with courage and strength of purpose. So don't fret, Mama. Instead, take heart.
Mama Take Heart is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you liked what you just listened to, would you take a second and leave us a rating in your favorite podcast app? It really does help more people like you find our show. This podcast is produced by me, Kelly Givens, and Steven Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. You can find more podcasts like this over at lifeaudio.com.
Dedicating time each day to spend feeding our minds and our hearts the truth of God's Word is immensely helpful in our growth as followers of Christ. I'm John Stonge, and each day I host a show called Daily Devotions with Pastor John. On the show, I spend just a few minutes taking an applicational look at one or two verses of Scripture before coming to the Lord in prayer. If you'd like to make a habit of spending more time meditating on the truth of God's Word, you can listen to Daily Devotions with Pastor John at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcasting app.